The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Wall Street Journal, and also, if time permits, an article from AARP Bulletin. Our first article is from the Wall Street Journal. This holiday season is looking ho, ho, horrible. It's a bad signal for the economy that people aren't spending money, but good for shoppers seeking discounts. Here are five signs of the coming slowdown. It's a giant question looming over the entire U.S. economy. How much will shoppers spend during the make-or-break holiday season? Early signs, from the number of boxes loaded on railway cars to rising consumer debt, signal a weaker holiday season than the past three, when pent-up demand coming out of the worst of the pandemic sparked shoppers' spending. A dud of a holiday season would be disastrous for retailers. For economists, it would be a bad signal about the direction of the economy. And for shoppers, forecasting offers a clue to when and how deeply stores will start slashing prices. Hint, there could be some steep discounting this year. This holiday will be late-breaking and heavily deal-reliant. Chris Cox, the chief executive of toy maker Hasbro, which makes such wish list staples as My Little Pony, Nerf Blasters, and Transformers, told analysts recently. The National Retail Federation expects overall sales increases could be in line with the slower pace we saw in the decade leading up to the pandemic, from 2010 to 2019, when the average annual increase over that period was 3.6%. It expects November through December spending, not including inflation, to rise 3 to 4%. By contrast, sales rose 5.4% in 2022, 12.7% in 2021, and 9.1% in 2020. Others are even gloomier. Some economic and company forecasts call for almost no growth in holiday spending this year, particularly when inflation is stripped out. The consulting firm Bain expects inflation-adjusted retail sales in November and December for stores and e-commerce to rise 1%, the slowest pace since the financial crisis holidays of 2008. Shoppers can look forward to more discounts as Christmas approaches, predicts Jordan Vashin, CEO of the upscale chain of cookware stores Sur La Table. October was very soft, he said. He expects sales will be concentrated on a few big days of discounting, like Black Friday and the Saturday before Christmas. Shoppers have been buying fewer of the items that usually dominate holiday gift lists, like sweaters and toys, as they spend more to keep refrigerators stocked and gas tanks full. They have also been shifting dollars to travel and entertainment. Still, consumers often have a way of pulling through and making those last-minute purchases. A hot toy, for example, can emerge. Tickle Me Elmo, circa 1996, or Little Live Pets Mama Surprise, 2022's baby-making robots. Here are the most important clues that paint a revealing picture of how the season will unfold. Railroad loads look light. Many businesses are planning for ho-hum holiday season by importing less stuff. U.S. imports of TVs and computer monitors, footwear and toys, including games and sports equipment, fell 20% or more in the 9 months through September compared with the same period a year earlier, according to the Census Bureau. Bicycle imports are down 41%, and smartphones declined 16%. Railroad operators said they are receiving fewer loads from ports to haul inland. United Parcel Service and FedEx have also reported lower revenues this year as consumers spend more on travel and services rather than on goods. FedEx executives said in a recent earnings call that they expect domestic parcel volumes this year to be down 25%, lower than what they had previously anticipated. The decline in imports shows how business is reverting to pre-pandemic levels after the buying surges in 2021 and 2022. Stockroom cupboards are still full. Stores and warehouses were overflowing with merchandise last year at this time as retailers struggled to match supply and demand coming out of the pandemic. Chains offered big discounts to clear out the excess. Good news for consumers, but crushing for retailers' bottom lines. Retailers spent most of this year whittling down their stockpiles, but some chains are still bloated. Retailers' inventory to sales ratio in August was the highest since May of 2020, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Citi analyst Paul Lejeune said that the excess inventory raises the possibility that some retailers could run big sales as the season progresses, particularly if demand falls short of their expectations. After stocking up on toys during the pandemic, shoppers are hitting the brakes this year. Toy sales are down 8% through September compared with the same period last year, according to market research firm Surana. That follows 3 years of huge growth, 33% from 2019 to 2022. Mattel CEO Ynon Kreiz said in an interview that despite this year's toy slump, Mattel sales are up on the strength of its Barbie Disney Princess and Disney Frozen dolls, as well as Hot Wheels and its new Racer Verse line. He said shoppers are returning to normal habits after buying earlier in the past few years. Shopping will move further to the back end of the year, Kreitz said. Fewer holiday job openings. Usually retailers and manufacturers staff up in late summer and early fall in anticipation of the holiday shopping rush. That didn't happen this year. I've never seen low unemployment and low demand for seasonal employees in the 24 years I've been in the staffing business, said Art Pappas, chief executive of Bullhorn, which provides software to staffing firms. Why the disconnect? Employers found it difficult to hire permanent workers coming out of COVID, so they added more part-timers. Now that the labor market is normalizing, they are shifting back to permanent staff, and Nick Bunker, economic research director for North America at Indeed Hiring Lab, which tracks employment trends. Some retailers are increasing the number of hours part-timers work, requiring them to hire fewer of them. Instead of two people working 12 hours each day, you'll have one person working 24 hours a week, said Melissa Hassett, vice president of client services at Manpower, a staffing agency. Consumers' cash crunch. Consumers paid down their credit card debt in record numbers during the pandemic, but some people have run up hefty balances again and are cutting back on shopping this season. In August, credit card delinquencies and defaults exceeded 2019 levels for the first time since the pandemic. Meir Behata, a consumer finance analyst at Bank of America, expects delinquencies and defaults to continue rising for the next few quarters. As card issuers tighten underwriting standards, an increasing number of lower-income consumers won't qualify for credit cards, and that could impede their spending this holiday season, he said. Walmart, Macy's, Dollar General, and Dick's Sporting Goods are among the retail chains that said in August that consumers are slowing their spending on non-essential purchases. Even high-income households have reason not to buy things. The high yields that savings accounts are offering are too good to pass up for many affluent consumers, evidenced by the recent spike in funds flowing into money market accounts, where some rates are pushing past 5%, according to Citi analyst Stephen Zaccone. Bargain hunters have time. So far, the big discount shoppers enjoyed last year haven't materialized. In September and October, deals for clothing, shoes, toys, electronics, and appliances were more modest than a year ago, according to Partisil, an e-commerce product development and pricing database. On the other hand, a growing number of chains have been talking about rolling back prices or increasing promotions on some items, including Dollar General and Levi Strauss. Natalia Buea, a 35-year-old who works in public relations, is looking for big-ticket items like furniture, appliances, and TVs for her new home. But the discounts aren't deep enough yet, the Toronto resident said. To tempt her to buy, I plan to wait until Black Friday, she said. Last-minute shopping was long a hallmark of the holiday season, but that changed during the pandemic when supply chain bottlenecks created scarcity and forced people to buy earlier or risk having items sold out. That trend is also reversing this year. With Christmas falling on a Monday, procrastinators will have plenty of time to stock up on last-minute gifts the preceding weekend. When the season is back-end loaded, retailers tend to get nervous and ramp up late discounts. Our next article, also coming from the Wall Street Journal. To secure your 2023 tax breaks, the time to act is now. Do the heavy lifting before January to reduce your IRS obligation in April. It's time to shake a leg on year-end tax planning. As usual, most moves affecting 2023 taxes must be completed before January the 1st, just weeks away. Here are areas to tackle now and a few that can slide. Check withholding and estimated taxes. On October the 1st, the penalty on tax underpayments rose to a stiff 8% and may hold there. This is worth avoiding, so review your paycheck withholding or quarterly estimated taxes, especially if your income has been uneven or included a windfall like a bonus. To avoid underpayment penalties, most filers must pay 90% of their taxes long before the April deadline. The due date is December 31st of 2023 for employees and January 16th, 2024 for those making quarterly payments. The IRS has posted a calculator to help employees figure the right amounts. Need to pay more? Try to fill the gap by withholding either from your paycheck or your taxable IRA payout. Under little-known tax rules, these moves can wipe out or reduce underpayment penalties, even if the catch-up payment is made late in the year. Taxpayers can also bypass penalties by paying an amount equal to either 100% or 110% of their 2022 taxes if they do it on time. In most cases, the 100% threshold applies to filers with adjusted gross incomes of $150,000 or less, while the 110% threshold applies to those with more. Standard deduction or itemized? Filers can reduce their taxable income either by subtracting one overall amount, the standard deduction, or by listing itemized deductions for mortgage interest, state and local taxes, charitable donations, medical expenses, and others on Schedule A. Before the 2017 tax overhaul, nearly doubled the standard deduction, about 30% of filers itemized. Now less than 10% do. The standard deduction is $27,700 for married joint filers and $13,850 for singles this year. And next, that rises to $29,200 and $14,600, respectively. Filers age 65 and older each get at least $1,500 more. Some taxpayers will want to switch back and forth from standard to itemized to maximize overall deductions. If so, it can make sense to, quote, bunch deductions, either by accelerating or delaying them into years when you itemize. Often the best candidates for bunching are charitable donations. But don't overlook unreimbursed medical expenses. They're deductible above 7.5% of adjusted gross income, a hard threshold to surmount. For those who do a wide variety of expenses, can count, including Medicare premiums, contact lens solution, and home modifications like an elevator or even a swimming pool. Optimized charitable donations. Givers should focus on three key tax breaks for donations, as there's no $300 or $600 deduction for non-itemizers this year. One is to bunch gifts and itemized deductions in some years, but not others. An example, Margaret is a single filer, age 67, who gives $5,000 a year to charity. But that and her other deductions will come to less than her 2023 standard deduction. By making 2 years of donations, either this year or next, Margaret could take the standard deduction 1 year and itemize for the other to maximize her overall tax breaks. Another is to donate appreciated investments held longer than a year. Donors can often take a deduction for the full market value of an asset without owing tax on its growth, although conditions and limits do apply. Donors who bunch deductions or give appreciated assets may want to use a donor-advised fund or a DAF. These enable the giver to take an upfront deduction and wait till later to direct donations to specific charities. Such funds are often convenient, but have fees. Finally, taxpayers age 70 and a half and older have a highly useful option, qualified charitable distributions, or QCDs, of traditional IRA assets. Each IRA owner can transfer up to $100,000 this year, $105,000 in 2024, directly to one or more charities. The donation can count towards their required minimum payout, if any. Donors using QCDs don't get a deduction, but the gifts don't count as taxable income either. That can help reduce income-adjusted Medicare premiums and other taxes and still allow the donor to take the standard deduction. Watch for large mutual fund payouts. Investors holding mutual funds in taxable accounts should check whether their funds will make large capital gains payouts for 2023. Mark Wilson, a financial advisor who tracks large payouts at capgainsvalet.com, expects large payouts from fewer than 100 funds this year. That compares with about 360 last year when markets tumbled and some managers sold holdings to meet redemptions. Still, he says that so far, five funds have announced payouts greater than 30% of net asset value, including the BNY Mellon U.S. Equity Fund, Another dozen will be making payouts greater than 20% of assets, including J.P. Morgan's Tax Aware Equity Fund and the DWS Equity 500 Index Fund. Usually investors have time after the announcement to make strategic moves before the payout. These include harvesting losses somewhere else to offset the gains or donating the holding to charity for a deduction. Plan electric vehicle purchases. There are lots of factors to consider. One is that the buyer who waits until 2024 can receive a tax credit up to $7,500 at purchase, while those who buy this year can't claim the credit until they file their 2023 tax return. On the other hand, the list of eligible vehicles could shrink in 2024 after the IRS issues guidance on certain provisions. One of them excludes vehicles with battery components from certain countries, perhaps including China. Income limits of $150,000 for singles and $300,000 for couples filing jointly could also matter. So check the details if you're close. Note that many of these constraints don't apply to leases, which have become more popular as a result. Due to excess inventory, many automakers and dealers are also discounting prices. Take required IRA distributions. Owners of traditional IRAs born in 1950 or earlier typically must take required withdrawals for 2023 by December the 31st of 2023. The payouts are based on the account value as of December 31st, 2022. Many heirs of traditional IRAs whose owners died in 2020 or later would normally have to take a required withdrawal this year. However, the IRS is allowing those heirs to skip it for 2023. And know what can wait. Contributions to traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, and health savings accounts for 2023 can typically be made until the tax deadline of April 15th of 2024. Some self-employed filers can make 2023 contributions to solo 401ks until October 15th of 2024. And our next article, also from the Wall Street Journal, is an article titled, "People No Longer Know How Much to Tip." Tipping can be seen as an obligation or a choice. And a new study shows the answer often varies by generation. Younger people are more likely to tip by default, while older consumers tend to say it's a personal decision, a new survey from the Pew Research Center found. Our attitudes about when and how much to tip have been reshaped by all the screens prompting us for gratuities at cafes and other businesses. There is one area of consensus. Nearly three-quarters said they now get hit up for tips much more often than 5 years ago. All these requests for gratuities have only added to people's confusion about appropriate tipping behavior, said Drew DeSilver, senior writer at Pew Research Center. The level of uncertainty about tipping decreases among those with higher incomes and more education. About 22% of those with postgraduate degrees said it was extremely easy to know the right amount to tip versus 40% of those with a high school diploma or less. Tipping fatigue. A paradox of tipping is that a behavior done almost without thinking can also be extremely emotional, said Stephen Zager, adjunct assistant professor of business at Columbia University. Some have grown so numb to the tip requests that they are ignoring them, prompting companies such as the food delivery app DoorDash to warn consumers that a failure to leave a tip could affect the timeliness of their order. Tipping for food delivery aside, there is already confusion over what is considered counter service, fast casual, and full service experiences. as these categories can collide. Nearly half of the roughly 12,000 people in the Pew study said their decision about whether to tip is determined by the situation. For example, 65% said they always tip at their hair salon, and 12% said they do so when buying a beverage at a coffee shop. Emotional blackmail. New requests for tips accelerated during the COVID-19 pandemic and subsequent lockdowns. Tipping became almost like combat pay. To pay for something, someone putting themselves out on the line. That was the evolution of tip expanding, and it took off in an incredibly intense way. The Pew survey looked at the rise of tip screens. Some find this new checkout screen manipulative, comparing the multiple choice options of 15%, 20%, or 25% to emotional blackmail. Just under a quarter of those surveys favor these suggested tips, while 40% oppose them. Even when tipping behavior becomes automatic, DeSilver said, Americans feel the money should reflect the quality of service. Edgar Giraz, a 25-year-old counter service worker at a pastry shop in Brooklyn, New York, said, more people started tipping 10% or more after the screens were added. According to the Pew data, the average tip amount is now 15%. People also don't want to carry cash, Giraz says, noting to the store's lack of physical tip jars. Everyone is getting used to it. As point-of-sale technology expands to more industries, baristas, bartenders, and other service workers acknowledge the tipping interactions are just as awkward for them as for the consumer. Zager said he recently grabbed a pre-made tray of sushi from a refrigerated counter and was prompted to tip at checkout. In the past, he said, he wouldn't have expected to be asked for a tip if a human wasn't preparing his food to order. I went through that moment of tip shock, like sticker shock, Zager said. It seems like not very long ago, I paid $30 and walked out. And we are out of time again for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and we certainly hope you'll join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.